listener. You're listening to the Pranks of Firth podcast with your host, Ash Frith. This week, my glamorous assistant is Justin Pegs.
Yo, how are you doing?
Badly.
What's up, bruv? Tell me everything.
I can't move away from the actual big thing that's happened to me. All joking aside,
something big's happened to you, hasn't it?
It's phenomenal. I mean, something big has happened to me is more apt than you could ever possibly know. I think this is the worst moment of my life.
Oh! Right, so let me see if I can guess. So I've got, full disclosure, I got a text last night that said, oh my God.
Oh, right.
You said to me, something big's happened. It's the worst thing ever. It will make you laugh. I'll tell you on the pod. So that's all I've got to work with, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Did you get the news on a Sunday?
Yes.
So I'm guessing it's not career related, or it is career related?
Well, it could end my career, I guess, but it hasn't done at this point. But no, not really career related.
Oh, someone's seen or heard something of you. No?
Someone's seen something of me, certainly.
Someone's seen you perform?
I'm going to tell you.
Go on.
But I need to do some caveats to start with, okay? Because the facts aren't going to change. I can't explain my way out of it. But ultimately, the facts aren't going to change. I just need to say these things in advance, right? There's a whole story here. So, A, I know football is stupid, right? Yep. I understand it's stupid. I don't even like it.
I know you
don't. I'm addicted to it. I love it with all my heart. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's in me, right?
You love football the way Amy Winehouse loved smack.
Yes.
Can't live without it, but you hate it.
So something happened yesterday. I went to Arsenal yesterday. They lost 2-0, right?
Oh, but then so did Liverpool?
Liverpool, yeah. So something happened. There was a moment. I don't sing when I go to football. It's just not my thing. I don't care if people enjoy that. That's fine. It's just not
yeah.
You know, it's not. People like the tribalism.
I'm in the Barmy Army, so I can't talk.
There was a moment. There was a moment during the game. I caught myself singing.
You're happy. You found happy.
Oh, wait. I caught myself singing. You know my first thought when I was singing along?
You thought, Jesus, you believe in Jesus?
I thought Justin would go fucking ape shit.
I wouldn't go. No, hang on. Okay.
Justin would look at me with a wry smile.
I just stood up when everyone stood up. And everyone went, stand up if you love Arsenal. And I just stood up and walked off.
Yeah, and not fair. Come back. I accept that.
Yeah.
I accept that.
I'm not a violent man these days.
No, I don't mean ape shit. I mean, you'd have just gone,
yeah, Ash, you're embarrassing me. Go on.
Yeah, I agree.
You've embarrassed yourself, haven't you? Please tell me it was on the big screen.
B. Point B. I never, ever, ever wear a football shirt to football. Ever.
You had a classic retro Gunner shirt.
Oh, it wouldn't have been as bad if I had.
I
wore a football shirt. I put on, right? I was layered up.
What the fuck?
Wait, I don't know, right? So don't, this isn't the bit to get involved with, okay? This is the bit for,
already,
this is the time.
Did you eat a hot dog?
This is the time for you to listen and not talk.
All right. Fucking hell. What are you getting up with this at home, mate? Go on.
I'm doing it like like an intervention.
I'm adding something. I'm adding to this. I'm not detracting. I'm adding colour.
I definitely don't want you to not talk.
Okay, I won't talk. Go on.
No, I don't want that. Be dramatic.
Fucking testimony. Come on, then.
So I wore. Mega. I had a little t-shirt on, a regular t-shirt, let's say. I had
Double
a long
XL.
Sleeve t-shirt. I had a hoodie, right? I then put over the top of that an Arsenal top.
Bloody love it.
I don't know why I did it. I never do. But I did.
Did you come out of the ground and shank a Spurs fan?
So I come out of the ground, Arsenal lost. I was disappointed. I was very, very disappointed.
But you're comfortable. This is your comfort zone, isn't it? Losing. This is your demeanour.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. That being near the top and that's too much anxiety for you. Just mediocrity is where you're at.
A minute away from the stadium, my phone pings.
Bing!
It's a picture of me in the stadium. My mate Spud, let's call him.
Oh.
He sometimes goes to the games, old Spuddy.
Oh.
And I was like, you haven't... It's a horrendous picture. Fucking hell. It's probably the worst picture of me I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that awful picture, but thanks so much for coming up and saying
mm-hmm.
hello. Makes me feel special. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
No response from him. 2 minutes later, my phone pings. It's my mate Carl. Saying,
mm-hmm.
well, this has cheered me up.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds later, it goes again. Ping!
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's some of the football... Someone posting in the football group of my football friends. Oh, my God. Look at this. 30 seconds later, video footage.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if you check your Facebook, now you will see... The lowest point of my entire life that I think...
Who photoshopped your head like that?
It's the angle of the tenor.
No! No! That's not true! Your head's the same size as your torso!
Look how fat I am, though, as well! Look at the fucking size of me!
Your head's so big you couldn't wash your hair, your hands wouldn't reach. That's the funniest picture I've ever seen.
There's more.
Oh,
I've sent
no.
you more. I've sent you more, mate. That's just the start. It's been going on
for
people hours.
Photoshopping it.
People are using it as their Instagram story, Justin. I was on screen for 20 seconds.
One of them, your head, that first one, your head is so...
No, that's why I sent you that one first.
You're like a stag beetle. So the next one is the real...
Look at the size of me.
You look happy.
Why am I wearing a...
That's the main thing. I can see you're happy to... Oh, no, wait. You look like you've got the fucking weight of the world on your shoulder. You look like someone who's liberating Auschwitz, not going to a football match. Like, you're the first
imagine if that fat cunt turned up to liberate Auschwitz. Jesus Christ,
that'd
be taking a piss,
wouldn't it? That
fucking hell. I don't wear a football shirt. Why am I wearing a football shirt?
Ash, fuck. Okay, this is like the politician that only ever sucks one dick and gets caught for it.
I know.
Oh, you're all full of it. Yeah, oh, I don't wear a football shirt. Oh, I don't get involved in the singing. You're like, yeah, I was singing in a football shirt, and the only time I've been caught on camera... Your whole life's a sham.
I wasn't caught singing, to be fair.
Imagine that.
I wasn't caught singing. I was...
Can you remember what you were doing on your phone at the time, moaning about something?
Yeah, I would have been moaning about something, yeah.
And why are you the only one there? Where's everyone else?
That's the end of the game, and half the stadium had left by the point I was leaving.
So why were you...
The game.
They'd gone, oh, this despondent... Have you seen it?
No, I cannot see it.
You know, like when they go, there's one despondent fan, long trip home. Do you know what I mean? I bet they said something. They've zoomed in on you sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's on for 30 seconds, apparently.
And you haven't seen it? We've got to get it.
I can't see it. Look at his head.
I can't do it. I bet it was like Graham Suit. This is how out of the loop I am. I bet Mark Lawrenson was like, look at this guy's head, Gary. Look at his big fucking massive head. Yeah, they've been talking about you. Do you know what? Do you know what this is, mate? Do you know what this is?
Is it an intervention for the world's fattest man?
No, this is that moment where you know, like the thing where someone's got a skill that isn't useful, and then their situation comes up where their skill's super useful. Do you know that sort of trope? Like, it'll be a kid's book. It'll be a kid's book and it'll be like, oh, Billy had a big finger. Oh, and everyone laughed at his big finger. And then the dam gets a big old... And he does something with his big finger.
Yeah.
your miserable, depressive, dark demeanour. Someone was looking, the director was going, find someone that looks sad and despondent. That guy, oh my God, he was born for this. You've reached your, you've found your, you are the square peg that has now found the square hole. You are Mr. Miserable. And it's paid off.
I just feel like I wish I wasn't quite so ginormously fat.
Yeah, you're massively fat, but we all know that. You've got a body
dysmorphia. No, but I'm fatter than you think I am.
No. I'm fatter than you think you are. You're fatter than you think. I've always known.
I've got body dysmorphia.
Yeah, you don't know how fat you are. I've been trying to help you, Roland. Yeah. All these jokes, do you think these jokes don't come at a toll on me? I'm trying
to help. Why didn't you film me and put me on in front of 8 million people? That would have helped. Imagine if I'd got some TV work as a stand-up.
Not only
and
are
I
you
saw
fat,
myself like that.
But you look like the typical fat normie football fan with your shirt over the top of your hoodie from Primark.
My whole head's so fat.
Your head's so big. That first one, it's the same size as your torso.
That's funny.
And your torso is not insignificant.
I'm so fat. I've got a huge chest. Huge,
well, that's just clothing.
Cage.
You don't do any bench pressing, bro. Do you even lift, bro?
No, my rib. I've got massive.
Oh yeah, you've got an abnormally square, big rib cage, like you're descended from some sort of ogre.
I should be like this absolute. Imagine if I was fit and an Adonis like. I would have a.
Do you know what?
Frame.
If he was in ridiculous shape, there is someone I think that you would be like, and he's quite obscure, and you won't know him. Before the UFC started testing for steroids, there was a heavyweight prospect called Shane Carwin. And he was like a Sasquatch. He had like massive hand and head and feet. And he had like a big rib cage, but it was a bit like a hobbit, but he was like huge.
Yeah.
I think there was
that boxer that was like a big hairy.
Yeah, Valuev.
Head and. Yes, that was it.
David
Hayford,
Nikolai Valuev, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was just like this machine.
7'5" Wolfman.
His head went all the way down to his shoulders, didn't it? I know everyone's does, but you know what I mean. It
was UFC, there was Bigfoot Silver. Can't remember his first name, but there's Bigfoot Silver. And he was a heavyweight who was allowed. Do you remember the. I don't know if you. Well, you don't. The UFC 300's just been on, by the way. So the 300.
Did Conor McGregor fight?
No, he didn't, no. But
will he ever fight again?
Yeah, I think he's meant to be fighting Chandler. He's just a fucking circus. I mean, he made $100 million against Floyd Mayweather that we know of, probably more than that with endorsements and advertising.
Would $100 million?
Why bother? I mean, he's come back and broke his leg and get his head kicked in a couple of times. Why bother?
What happened when he broke his leg? Did he try and fight on? I can't remember. There was
he just stood on it and then collapsed, which I think is... I don't think we're going to call him a pussy for that, Ash. I certainly wouldn't. I mean, if that's what you want to go...
I remember seeing a video of him about 6 months later where he looked absolutely ripped.
He's on roids and he's also on cocaine because a lot of people flagged up he did a junket for they rebooted Roadhouse.
Yeah, he was in it, wasn't he? He's
the
baddie.
I think he's playing the Sam. What's that old guy with the tash? Sam is in The Big Lebowski as well. Sam
Smith, the singer.
Something like that. No, the old guy with the big handlebar mustache and the deep voice. He's like an actor. He's like Sam. I want to say Sam Hyde, but I think that might be a comedian. Who's Sam Hyde? It's Sam something. I think Jake Gyllenhaal is a Swayze character, and McGregor's the sort of like older.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal. He looks like.
He's a fellow massive head person. Mm. He's got a very big head. Nothing like yours on that photo. We've got to say that.
Nothing ever will be.
Do you know what you look like in that first one? I don't know.
One of those pro star football things.
Nope, you look like a baby owl.
Yeah.
Have you seen the baby owls have got big? Their body and head are the same size. Yeah. They're like a figure eight.
It's really done for me. And but that isn't really the end of it. The messages, I reckon I've had 50 messages. And then I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. My daughter started coughing and I went into her, gave her some water, went back to bed. I couldn't sleep. I was awake until 4:30 from 2:15.
What, worrying about this?
Mainly. And then I went on Twitter, which I don't very often anymore. I went on Twitter and I had messages on Twitter. Is this you? Pictures. Is this you?
course it's me.
This person
looks like
you.
I've got a season ticket for Arsenal. Of course
were you at the football?
Yes, but of course it was
that,
me. The person at the Arsenal football game, home game, the person at the Arsenal home game that looks exactly like me, you knowing I've got a season ticket. Yeah, it's me, Sherlock. Who else do you think it?
They might listen. I don't know, but, you know, I had three.
I reckon some
individual...
people might have identified you just from head proportion. There ain't too many of you bobbleheads knocking about these days.
So you think that's the end of it? It's not the end of it. I went to take my daughter to school this morning. My next door neighbour's there, the left-hand side neighbour as you look out. He said, did I see you on Sky Sports last night?
A lot of people would have seen you, mate.
Well, I went, oh, yeah, it's pretty bad. And he's like, oh, you didn't look very happy. I was like, no, I wasn't very happy. I came back, the neighbour on the right-hand side went, saw you on the telly yesterday.
Yeah, everyone's seen you.
This is fucking
unbelievable. I don't. If I watch football, I'd have seen... This is huge. This is global. You've probably reached, like... Well, you said millions, but are you talking worldwide?
Yeah.
It's big, mate. Your head is
big. I'm
big. No, this is a big deal.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
No, it's the best thing. It's the best thing.
You did.
I know you're going to do some Edinburgh show type thing where it comes up on a screen. That was me. Look, at football looking sad.
I'm never going to Edinburgh ever again.
Oh, that was me getting attacked by the Cookie Monster. Oh, this is me doing football.
Oh, you're having to go at the Cookie Monster show, are you?
Might be.
when I'm at my lowest ebb.
Yeah. All of your lowest ebbs seem to be caught on camera, which is very good. Like, you know, you direct your life very well.
It's just the messages. I don't know. Maybe I'll give you a summary of some of the messages I've had. Shall I? That'll be nice for
you.
Let's have a little look here at some of the messages I've got that make me want to kill myself.
Are you there?
So, yeah, I'll read you some of the messages I've received. Here we go. So, a picture. This is from a stranger, just so you know. A picture of me, and it says... that's a lot of effort to go to miss the kids' bedtime. As if, because I'm in the stadium on my own, I presume. That's what that means.
What a weird comment.
Yeah, it's a weird one to start with, isn't it?
Right. They've assumed a lot of things about you.
So the first thing I got was, for those who know, and that was a picture of me. That was the one I thought was my friend taking the picture of me, but it wasn't. It was of his TV. So well done. He's got good quality TV anyway. This is my new favourite picture of anything ever. It's the next message I've got. The next message is, I've made this my background, and then they've screenshot their phone.
What are they, like Man City or Spurs fans? Is it? Are they revelling in your misery, or is it just about how ugly you are?
No, like my fat, disgusting face.
Yeah, you're just a big fat man.
Next message, what a shit day you've had.
Well, it's only just started.
If you go home now and find a couple of Spurs fans ploughing your wife, and your misery will be complete.
This is just football, man. I don't understand why you immerse yourself in this tawdry little world of turgid shit.
There's a reason why he's always been jolly. It's because he's never been hangry.
That's good. That's
good.
Yeah.
They've put out an appeal, which is always a good start to a message. They've put out an appeal with a hotline to Slimming World on a banner across the bottom trying to get you some help.
Ash, you're a fat guy meme.
Damn, that's not that's good. Slow metabolism.
I'm turning now.
Oh, you might like this one. Hippopotamus escapes London Zoo and gets inside Emirates Stadium, but gets eaten by a sad Arsenal fan.
So it's the hippo's inside you. You're not the hippo. Yeah. You are fat, but I've been. Hey, you've been my fatty first. Don't know these Johnny Come Laties coming and steal my thunder.
I need you to know this. I think you might enjoy this one. It says Incrediboy has really let himself go.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've always called you that.
Do you know who?
I've always called you Incrediboy.
Oh, I didn't know that you knew.
Do you remember Jason's mate Coops from Bad Cat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks like Mr. Incredible when he's like let himself. You know, like there's a bit where he's in the office and he's all out of shape. And you, I've always said you look like Incrediboy.
Oh, I'm actually crying a little bit.
But in, you should. This would be a good time to sort yourself out. And yeah, you could go on the thing. Go look. It was this moment that forced me to.
For the show, you mean?
No. I mean to just turn your life around and get out of the super morbid obese range.
Well, I have saved it as my screensaver, so every time I think
put a picture of it on the fridge. Ash can't do that because Ash is the only guy I know whose fridge has got a revolving door.
All right, Norm.
Hey, on account of the fact his fridge has a revolving door, eh? Eh?
God, I miss him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great. That's great. That's just great. I mean,
yeah, I
that first picture
that.
You sent
me. Listener, I don't know how to really help the listener there, you know? Because I know it's visual, but I can't.
If they donate just $1 a month, they can come in the Discord, yeah, can't they?
Yeah, be on the Discord, yeah. I'll put it up after this episode's gone out.
Yeah. After it's gone out. We need three people in Discord to ask for the photo, and then we'll put it in there. Because someone asked me to see the guy that I photographed with the kite stuck in the tree. So I put it in there. Because I said I got photo evidence. I did put that in there.
That was really good, to be fair.
Two pictures. One of him getting it stuck, and then one when I came back from doing GB News, and it was dark, and it was still there. And that was when I was like...
I loved that. Loved that. And I feel like because I love that so much, I've probably been punished.
No, you haven't been punished. You're famous. You're a fat guy meme.
Yeah.
You're like the I'm number one, so why try harder guy on the Fatboy Slim advert.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're that guy now. Just fat. We need a stock image of a fat, sad football fan. That guy, that one from Arsenal. That's what newsrooms will be saying.
There'll be
articles saying, why is there an obesity epidemic in the white working classes? And it'll just be you just looking at your phone in an Arsenal shirt. It's just perfect.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm right. Oh, I'm right.
It's been a blow. It's come as a blow.
So what are you going to do about it, Roland?
I don't know. I think I might stop eating.
Well, I remember on this very podcast sitting here and listening to some young, energetic, youthful man full of optimism and vim and vigour saying, oh, this keto's amazing. I'm never going to eat again. It's amazing. It's incredible. Yeah. It's like a life hack. And then you're like, oh, I've started eating pasties again. And now look at you. Why did you stop?
My biggest problem, the biggest problem was... It was such hard work because I'm vegan.
Well, what does that tell you? I think it's time to jack that shit in, mate. You're getting no gold stars for that anymore. That's yesterday's news. It is.
That was the thing. It was the fact that I was doing something completely different.
Stop being a vegan.
I don't want to.
But be a veggie. Just eat butter and eggs. Eat eggs. You can eat eggs.
I think I need to cut out all the other stuff as well. Like, go harder on cutting stuff out.
No, but I'm saying if you ate like that, you don't know what satiated means, mate.
I really wish there was a decent... Because like, it is doable, keto vegan.
That is it,
fuck. It actually is.
You're not supposed to be a vegan,
Oh, no, I did
mate.
It. I lost 2 stone easily.
Humans aren't vegans.
Why isn't there a vegan keto recipe book?
Because keto's like natural whole foods, and natural whole foods that aren't protein are all fucking carbs. You're supposed to eat animals, you dipshit. Like it's in your genes. Why are you self-flagellating like this? It's like a fucking...
I'll tell you what is in my genes. My gut, when I tuck it in.
Yeah. So what size is that Arsenal shirt?
Extra large.
How many X's?
No, that is just one X.
One X? Fuck you. It's over the top of that and a load of other clothes.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I look like a sausage.
Yeah, it's not baggy. You don't look like an ice hockey player.
You look more like a fucking leotard.
I bet it fits now. I got an ice hockey shirt from Colorado.
So when you have to start wearing American football shirts, sans padding, and they still fit like that.
People do that, don't they? Americans do that.
Do you remember, what's his name? Fucking, what's his name? Kevin, you know, that fucking Clarks and Jay and Silent Bob. Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Smith, yeah.
He lost a load of weight, but, you know, he's an annoying cunt, isn't he?
I mean, he had about 3 heart attacks, didn't he?
Good. Hey, I do you want to hear about my gig story?
Yeah, please.
So I gigged with Ramesh Ranganathan on Saturday.
Nice. Well done.
As in, he was in the main bigger auditorium at Sheffield. Yeah. Hey, at Sheffield City Centre, at Sheffield City Hall. And I was in the Last Laugh Comedy Club in the sort of other bit.
Yeah.
So I was the MC. And get to the final section. I introduced the headline act, who had been there Friday. I hadn't been there Friday. I had a corporate. No, shit. I had my MRI on Friday. I had to pull, so I was meant to be at Sheffield, but I had to go get my MRI done. And the headliner was joking, oh, last night he goes to the showrunner, how much over did I go? And she went, oh, you did about 30 of a 20. And he went, I'll probably do the same tonight, like as a joke. Anyway, he was 28, 29 minutes in. Nope. Fire alarm goes off. Sorry, 18, 19, sorry. He was 8, sorry. He was meant to be doing 20. He joked that he was going to overrun. I wanted to get home to Norwich because I wasn't staying up there. And he was about 18, 19 minutes in and the fire alarm went off. Now, the weird thing is...
The dream.
The fire alarm went off, but the actual siren was above the fire exit, which is exactly where I was stood. So everybody in there, 180 people just looked round at me standing underneath this, wow, the thing going
like that.
You didn't
lean on something, did you?
No, that's just the siren was above the door, not the... So anyway, everyone looked at me, and I was like, it really looks like I've set an alarm off. And it doesn't go off. And he's trying to talk over it. And I think I could hear laughs, but I couldn't hear him because I was at the side of the room. Obviously, the way the PA and sound is set up, the audience could hear him and I couldn't. So the showrunner goes outside and I'm thinking, oh, they'll turn that off. Then she comes back in looking at the sound guy doing the cutthroat signal. Cut it, stop, dead, over. You know, the universal sign, you know. House lights go up. Ladies and gentlemen, please get your things and go out. So as we file out, I'm first out because I was stood. Just I happened to be stood near the fire exit. That's where I was stood. I didn't like run like a coward, Ash.
No, you went.
Yeah, I just turned around and I was the first one out. And I start seeing the audience come out, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, it's like the anthill mob. Obviously, that was coming out of Romesh's as well. Like they'd all filing out of there as well.
How long had he done at that point? He must.
Well, I don't
done.
Know, but the Sheffield City hall staff, because I went through the bowels. I didn't go straight out the fire exit. I went out the fire exit to the room. Then I went to the backstage bit to get my phone and that, and then go out. And which is protocol, I believe. Go get. Make sure you go and get all your belongings, no matter how much further into the building they are.
Absolutely.
So I got, and then I heard the start. Oh, I was 10 anyway. It's 10 anyway. That's one of those places they want you out real quick.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I walked out.
He'd done his time, yeah.
Well, I sort of walked out and just looked around and just left and went home. And then like an hour and a half later, I was driving home and I was like at Newark. And I just had this big anxiety, like, fuck, should I have just gone back in? And maybe they went back in. I haven't heard anything.
No.
But I just sort of thought, oh, we're
you
not going
to... You probably should
have
let someone know you were leaving just for,
no,
again,
I just
the
walked,
fire protocol.
I actually walked out without stopping walking, sort of walked a bit slower. I looked around. Everyone was going, oh, that's a bit weird, isn't it? That's a bit fucking weird. And I looked around. Yeah, I just sped up back to my car.
Because if there was a fire...
I mean, I looked like
chance...
I set the alarm off. And I looked so fucking dodgy. I sort of like sort of hovered but didn't hover because I didn't want anyone to go, oh, we'll just wrap up. I just went. Didn't speak to anyone.
That's... I honestly think that's fair enough.
I guess it is, but I just had this thing where it was like something I did in the moment. And then I don't know what happened an hour later that like this other part of my brain kicked in and went, oh, maybe you should have said, is that it, and left. I mean, I mean, all I had to do was go on and say, give up 40 acts you saw tonight. I mean, they would have had to have gone back in just for that.
Tony Law's not going back on to do 3 minutes, is he?
No. But,
So
that was that one. Friday.
Some gigs, they want you to do that anyway, don't they? In some gigs, they want you to... The headliner back announces the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... It was just... Because it was funny, because, you know, like... As you know, you said there's people that would have done their, oh, I entertained everyone in the car park.
Oh, yeah, you said when... That is the thing. I've seen that before. Like, it's been abandoned.
Yeah.
And then a picture
there's a
of
picture
the
of them stood on
a bollard.
Yeah, just going, the government.
12 people.
Grr, the government.
Not even that. When it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, let's not let our spirits get dampened. I can talk to you from here with my projecting voice. Fuck
those
off,
people
mate.
Are the worst. I think they're all cunts.
So do I.
So anyway, that
there's
happened.
Something
and then...
wrong with you if you go. Well, this gig's been called off. Anyway, what I'll try and do is continue the gig. It's like I did that gig where I went into the pub. It was like a pub with a sort of theatre thing. You know what I mean? Some of the pubs have like a little theatre room. And went in there. And the guy who was promoting the gig, I turned up at the same time as him. He went, has it sold? The boat went, none. It's done nothing. He went, what? He went, yeah, no, absolutely nothing. He was like, oh, God, it was good numbers last month. He went, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry. Like, you're going to get paid. Like, don't panic. Just, it's not going to happen tonight. And I was like, oh, that's an absolute result. I love that. So then he was like, he had some equipment that he'd already taken into the room. And he sort of picks it up, and I think he's taking it back to his car. And I'm like, just sitting there. I think I'd got a Coke or whatever. I'm sitting there. And about 5 minutes later, he went, oh, there's some people out in the beer garden. I'm thinking we set up the speaker in the beer garden and just do it out there. And
I mean, what is wrong with these people? We don't do this for money.
I said to the guy, I was like, did they know there was comedy on? The boat went, yeah, that's why they've set out there.
Yeah, that to avoid it.
Yeah, to avoid it.
Yeah.
So then, about... Before I can say or do anything, 5 minutes later, the promoter is standing on a pub beer garden table and chair picnic table thing going, ladies and gentlemen, there will be comedy starting out here in 10 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck? The guy's just said you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Like, what? What's the benefit of this?
I do this for money, and before I even set foot on for my first, I wanted to do it for money. I never wanted to do it because I wanted to do it. I need money
I
to live.
Have
do you know? Because you
don't
know, like
now.
You know, like where I live. You know, I don't know if it's like this in Southend, but in Norwich, if you want stuff like food, you have to like give people money, and then they give you food. And also, like the house I live in, I have to. Like, I have to give the mortgage company money, otherwise I'll have to
it's
leave.
Different, isn't it? Different.
So I just, I'm saying.
Different
so I was like, oh, I need all this stuff called money, and I hate working. What could I do to get money that wouldn't feel as like working as much as actually working does? And I picked comedy, because I was funny as well. But like, if I go to a venue and they're like, yeah, you're gonna get your money. I'm like, that is why I went there. I didn't go there.
Oh, I totally agree. Like,
I didn't
I'd rather
go
not
there
do
to
the gig
prostitute myself because of some fucking neediness in me. It's like
I've had
I'm
that
not...
a few times where people
oh,
have
the
been
result.
Like,
the best
but wouldn't
ones
you rather
like...
do the gig?
Oh, I love it when they're like, oh, you know that gig you've got booked in on Wednesday? This is Monday. You go, yeah. They go, it's pulled. You go, fuck. They go, full fee. You go, oh, okay, thanks. And then when I hang up the phone, I'm like dancing. Like, I'm fist pumping the air. Like Tom Cruise from fucking Risky Business. I'm sliding in on my socks on a wooden
floor.
If
I pick up another gig on that date, great.
Yeah,
if I don't,
oh, my
I'll
God,
still
it happens.
Money.
It happens when something's been cancelled and then it will get filled. And then I think I'm getting... And I don't... I mean, I do care about being as good as I can be. I mean, I don't really work towards that as much as I could, but that is on the back burner of my brain, is try and make every joke as funny as it can be. But I just
do
it for money.
This?
This is my job. Sorry. As I when someone's like, oh, this...
I got one.
Imagine if you turned up with a plumber and they went, oh, sorry, yeah, the job's not ready. The fucking structural engineer was meant to... We'll pay you for a day's work, but you haven't got to install that radiator. And you're going, oh, does anyone round the corner want one installed? But you haven't gone there to install the radiator, you fucking mook. You've gone there to get the money, do you know what I mean?
I had one where the gig was pulled probably 3 days before, and it was like, you'll be paid your full fee, but if you do manage to sort something else, you'll be paid full fee because it's like short notice. But if you do get something else, please let me know, as like the money will be coming out of my pocket. And I was like, oh,
I'm not going to look for a gig.
Exactly the thing. I was like, if you hadn't have offered me the money, I'd have gone, oh, never mind. But the fact you now have,
I'm not going to look for another gig.
Yeah.
And what difference does it make to you if I get another gig? It could have been a double. What if I was on a double and you pulled your gig on the day?
Yeah.
And you're doing another one, so it don't matter. It's like, well, hang on. No, that's... I don't know. It's actually quite a good question. That is a bit
different. You've had it fairly recently where you've taken the double because it made it feasible.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
one
yeah.
of those gigs is pulled.
No, I had to pull. I had to pull the lower paid one because I got told they
made it.
Yeah, yeah. They both started at 8, but one started at 7:30. The first one I was on, they said it starts at 8, and I got there at like 7:25, and I was like on 10 minutes later because I was opening. And I was just like, the double didn't work by about 25 minutes if I thought they both started at 8.
Yeah.
But that one started at 7:30. I could have made it. But it all made up for it because then I went and done that again and I did another double within London and I did that the other weekend when I took the picture of the kite in the tree. But so my gig, I had a corporate earlier in the week that was very posh and old. A big members club called the Lensbury in Teddington near Twickenham, basically. And they were old and they were posh. And the opening act was a urban act. And this is the first time I'm going to say it without it being overt. I think I detected old school, genuine, the real deal, dictionary definition, a little bit of racism, which I... You know, when everyone starts flagging microaggressions. I mean, this was... I think this woman just didn't like him because he was black.
Really?
And just shook her head like, no. Like, just shook her head. And she was with three other old ladies. I mean, these were old ladies. And the other three were laughing. And she had to be seen to be not enjoying it in front of all of them. And then he did a bit and she went, rubbish. And he went, what?
Oh, wow.
He went, what? What? Rubbish? What's rubbish? And she was just like, she was just doing that, putting her hand up and looking the other way like, oh, I can't even.
Well, that's what happened at that golf club I did where I squatted next to her. I was like, what's wrong?
Yeah, well.
What are you doing here?
When he left the stage, she didn't even clap. And when I said, yeah, and I was watching her. Because I was watching her the whole, this half hour set this guy did and I was watching. I'm not naming him because I don't want it to look like I'm saying, I don't want to come on here and say someone didn't do well. That isn't what happened. There was one woman who was an absolute fucking nightmare, but I'd still rather not. So then I said, I'll give it up for the act you saw in the first section. You just saw blah, 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 nothing. Even when prompted, nothing. Like, going out of her way. And then I went back on and did a bit of crowd work and I didn't talk to her because why would you? But I was looking at the corner of my eye and she was just a horrible woman.
Apparently,
before the show started, she came over to the sound desk and said to the sound engineer, oh, that music's too loud and it's awful, change it. So that was her. This is the thing about a members club. Even the woman that worked there went, oh, this room's been shut off all day, but you have to, every time you come in and out, can you rebarricade the door with chairs? Because the members here think they just can do what they want. Like, even though there's a sign up that said, please do not enter until 7:15 or something.
Who are they? Who are these people? Did you look at
Members Club? Members Club, like a proper, you know, tennis court, swimming pool, everything in the mid, like Twickenham, basically. This big, it looked like a hotel. It's so posh there, mate.
But why have they booked this comedy night?
It was brilliant. Ash, there was 200 people in there. 199 people loved it. By the time I'd come, you know, all the staff were going, who organised it, were going, the feedback's been brilliant. It was literally one woman. It was one woman. That's what I'm saying. It was 199 people loved it. Do you know what I mean? And it was the first one they'd done there. It was just, and I think there was more to it. Either she's just like a proper miserable, been dragged there, but she was so...
Was it just you and that act? Or
no, the closer. You know, he...
me and him was when the first time, look at her. She was, it was like, you know that woman you took a photo of with that bloke had the lump out of his head?
Yeah.
It was worse than that. But these just get these, and I don't want to gender women. It's normally a woman, and she's just so, has to be visibly not enjoying herself. It's like her whole identity is the woman at the gig that doesn't like it. It's like, why don't you stand up and walk out the door and fuck off? Because why is the...
I don't know why she's there. I don't get what she's gaining out of it.
Oh, it's the whole show. I'm going to be the woman that doesn't find this funny. Either she thinks... I think the backstory they give themselves is they're too intelligent and high and this is too base and down here. And I was clean. I was actually clean. And I can MC clean because I'd find it easy to MC clean. Because I can just... I don't know, but...
They call you MC Clean, don't
MC
they?
MC Clean, yeah. And you're DJ Dirty. And together we are clean and... Dirty a lot of clean, dirt. But a lot of dirty, we call it, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of clean, but even more dirty. That's the name of our first album. What was I saying? MCing, and I was clean.
I'm not entirely sure.
I'm not entirely sure either. Now, I just imagined the album cover of us with our hats on backwards and everything. I just went down a clean and dirty MC clean and DJ dirty rabbit hole then. We should do me and you are going to release an album. This will happen. Okay. Me and you are going to release an album of parody hip-hop covers but with dirty songs. Basically what every musical act does. Name a famous hip-hop track.
Famous hip-hop track.
Rapper's
is...
Delight with Dogger's Delight. Then we're going to Dogger's Delight. That's that one. Another one.
Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh Crew.
Yeah, that's not the track, is it, dickhead?
No. What's that song?
Do it again.
It goes.
That one.
Dougie Fresh on.
I don't know. Dooby dooby doo. I say hip hop and you come out with Dougie Fresh, mate.
Whistle.
Oh yeah, whistle. What's
whistle?
Was bugging.
This is just bugging.
No, actually I take it back. Only dogging. So that one's only, they're, only dogging. They're all about dogging. No, and then Rapper's Delight could be something else. What could that be? Slapper's Delight. And it's about
Slapper's Dog Light. What?
No. Dog-like groovers in the hut. But like, we've got to do MC, what was it called? MC Clean and DJ
MC
Dirty.
MC Clean.
DJ Dirty. And we'll wear our hats backwards.
Isn't there MC Luck and DJ Neat?
Yeah, Neat and Dirty and Clean go to better than Luck and Neat.
Yeah, I got confused because I was thinking of Neat and then I said Luck.
Neat and Tidy would be better, wouldn't it?
DJ Tidy.
You got what about Spoonie and Forky? Who is Spoon? DJ Spoonie? What's the other one?
Spoonie. I don't know. Is he married to Vanessa? Is that him?
Vanessa Knife.
Vanessa Feltz. Vanessa.
No.
Knife. Yeah, one of them is. She's married to like a hip hop.
She.
DJ.
Oh, she left him, didn't she? She oh, had to she? Desert Spoonie. Yeah. It's a type of spoon.
Yeah. It's the only kind of spoon I use.
Teaspoon? Yeah. That's how you put your sugar. That's the problem.
Two sugars, please. Oh, no. With this ladle.
Serving spoon. That's your problem, mate. You are the big spoon, aren't you?
Got the wrong fucking spoon size. What a mistake.
So, that happened.
I've been doing a bathroom. Listener, we didn't put out anything on Friday.
Oh, I watched Baby Reindeer. Can we do a review?
I don't even know what that is.
Well, you know Richard Gadd, who did the Edinburgh show that won the award, and it was him dressed as a gorilla on a treadmill or something?
No.
Okay, well, Richard Gadd. Okay, so it's a little bit... Well, I'm going to take this... Like, you know how you said you saw a good clip of Phil Ellis saying the difference between... middle-class acts that can afford to live in cities and not pay their rent. London, that can afford to live in London and do gigs in London where industry people are, and people like him who lived in London
and to pay their rent had to go to Sheffield every weekend to entertain stags and hens to be able to afford to be like a working comic. Working comedians that are good enough to earn a living doing comedy can't afford to be in front of industry people. That's the kind of catch 22.
That's the bottom line.
Well, there's another thing where the comedy industry are looking for the new thing, which isn't the new funny person. It's the comedy. It's a stand-up show, but it is also like Nanette by Hannah Gadsby, which is, you know. And then this Richard Gadd, it's all about he got abused. And I think, anyway, so he's done this show, Baby Reindeer, that he did, I think it was an Edinburgh show or a show. They've now made it into a series on Netflix, similar to Fleabag, was an Edinburgh show that then became Fleabag. And it was, everyone in the comedy, everyone on the, like, people know him, know of him. So my Facebook is them going, oh, Baby Reindeer, what a piece of work, brilliant. How this, how it was that. I hated it. I hated it. And I hated it because it was a very... I watched it as a comedian, and in it is obviously it's a true story. I don't know how much of it is embellished, but based on his experiences of having a stalker, and in it he's a struggling comedian working in a bar in London. So there's an element certainly of autobiographical, if just in the setting, right? It was like that faceless, amorphous cabal I imagine that exists if there is a comedy Illuminati. It was like this was just them sneering, that the sneering I imagine they would do, because it was just so fucking just, I did not like it at all, and I thought it was clumsy, and I thought it was, so it's not even like, oh, I didn't like it. I mean, it's not like what would be levelled at me by this imaginary adversary I've created is they would say, well, yeah, you probably like Mrs. Brown's Boys, and this is, it's like, yeah, I know Mrs. Brown's Boys is shit, but when you do something which is the polar opposite of that, but is so far the other way, that's also shit. Like, yeah, it was all just crying and sadness and...
Well, the biggest thing is, was it really funny?
Not one bit of it was funny at all. It wasn't even meant to be funny. That's the thing.
That's the bottom line.
It's not a comedy, but it's not a comedy. I don't think it is a comedy show. But in it, the working class are depicted. He even describes them like, the guys I worked with are so heteronormative. Like, he's basically got the working class men that work in this pub with him are just heteronormative. And they're like the characters you'd get in a Ladbrokes advert. Like, all are always, like, laughing and, like, noogieing each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, and probably putting an accumulator on the Saturday and... drinking Stella and doing lines, and they're just thick. But he's this thought. Oh, I just hated it. I hated it. I hated it. And it made
that's, me. That is it. It doesn't. That's a Netflix series. That's
I know, but what, it's just like.
That's what is.
But
I mean,
is.
I don't know who wants it. That's okay. The thing. I don't know who is consuming it. And if they're consuming it, are you actually enjoying it? Are you laughing if it's a comedy?
I need to sort of explain my vantage point, though, really. What I'm saying is, as a standalone Netflix show that was a piece of drama, fine. But this guy is a guy that won, or I think he won, the Edinburgh Comedy Festival Award, whatever it's called now. It used to be the Perrier, then it was the Fosters. I don't even know what it's called now. He won that with this sort of thing. Now, it's all well and good that he's made this sort of like extended Black Mirror thing about a stalker. And that's fine. But this is his springboard, and every rung of his ladder was in the comedy industry. And this
have
is what
the
industry...
Have you heard of him before? Have you
seen
him
the industry are going to comedy shows and looking for the next tragic, sad thing, then what? Then that's not the industry that I want to be in. That's not what I signed up for. How has
but
it become
is,
this?
That is the thing, isn't it? That is, no, like, there has to be a story. That is what they want.
Yeah, but that's, I don't want them. I don't want they. What the industry is, I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in them. It's not me being bitter and going, oh, I'm a white heteronormative, do you know what I mean? Whatever the fucking, at least the way he said it was such as, came across as
a
such
slight.
A slur. Oh, the guys I've worked with are just like completely heteronormative. Now, hang on a minute. Heteronormative doesn't mean the same thing as toxic masculinity or low IQ. But it was, I for the first time, because this is the thing, when you start to give everything a term in this age of identity politics, like I'm a cisgendered man, it's like, am I? Yeah, you are. It's like, well, I don't know why you, I've been, I've, like, if you choose a label for yourself, but have one thrust upon you, which doesn't really mean anything. I mean, let's face
it. It goes against the whole principle, doesn't it?
Yeah. But this is the first time I heard someone describe my group and I felt offended. I actually felt marginalised. Is that the point? Instead of making Probably. Trans people feel non-marginalised, we'll make cisgender feel it also. So it's a race to the bottom. Instead of an equality where we all feel good about ourselves, it's like we want equality where everyone fucking feels ashamed of themselves. Heteronormative. Oh, the guys I work with are so fucking heteronormative. Oh, them losers.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah.
It's fucking insane, mate. I don't, that's just one thing. I've, but anyway, I'm not just a heteronormative middle-aged white man. That's like, oh, I fuck the industry. I don't like what the industry is. I mean, I don't know. You're looking for these. Why is that one? It's a one-man thing. He's not funny. I mean, what he does is what he does. But it wasn't funny. And even if Baby Reindeer wasn't meant to be funny, he's got where he is with that other show that was won the Comedy Award. And that, if that was anything like this, like, oh, I'm going to do these little jokes and then a
three. I wonder what the sort of laugh ratio is on one of these shows. I really do.
Doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, it really made me. Well, that's the thing.
If they say something,
surely the only thing is, was it the funniest show?
If they can just about keep your interest for 43 minutes until they do the big 5 minute sad thing where you all cry, that's, you need enough of a worm on your hook to just catch them. It's not what I want to do. I'm not interested in it. And for a change, I might go and watch a show like that and I could enjoy it for what it is. But the fucking industry, when was the last? The only, do you know what? Having said that, last year that Sam Campbell won, he's fucking funny.
Who's that?
Sam Campbell, the Australian who won.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah, he is.
I watched his show. It's the Fun Hour or something. The one where he's got all the snipers in the crowd. It's filmed through a sniper. His face funny.
Where's that?
Oh, it's fucking, it's free on YouTube. It's fucking great. What's with all the snipers? He just says it. Like, look at, you know, they have a crowd shot. There'll be like people laughing like a sniper. It's just funny. He's funny.
He's so weird, isn't he? I like him.
He's, I mean, some of it, I don't know how much, you know, I mean, I'm sure, I'm guessing he's in on the joke. But there are some bits where I'm like, oh, what, is he so autistic he doesn't know that that's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, am I allowed? Is this all right? Anyway, but if the industry are just looking for this sad, I'm not putting a sad bit in any of my shows, ever.
No. Apart from what about if you're really fat and you filmed at a football stadium for 20
seconds?
Oh,
yeah, okay. That's. But you need to do a Barry Bethel.
That's not what it's for. I think you could talk about sad issues, but not base the show on this big sad
numbers,
story. Just be fucking funny.
Comedy.
Be funny.
Comedy's in a weird dual position at the moment where it's never been bigger in that there are, like, they used to have, like, what I mean by that is you used to have like three household name comedians and the rest they were just comedians. Like, you know Frank Carson was, you knew who Freddie Starr was, and then there was all these comedians. You'd be, oh, the woman, that number. But now there's like I said, I was doing a gig on Saturday and in the other room was Ramesh Rangat, sold out the, but like now there's more touring comics, household name comics than I think there's ever been. Like, even if I said to my mum, name some comedians, you go, oh, Jimmy Carr,
we've
Frank,
got
Mickey.
A whole bunch of touring TikTok Instagram comedians.
Yeah, I mean, they're
well.
Comedy fans. I mean, actual household names. Like, you've got a lot of comedians go on to do stuff on telly. Like, you've got Alan Carr's show. You've got Graham Norton's show. You know, I mean, you got all these.
Yeah, they were stand-ups.
Yeah, of course they were. That's what I'm saying. But also,
yeah,
I think comedy's never been.
They
I don't think
know.
Comedy's ever had the lowest numbers in terms of Live at the Apollo's dwindling, Mock the Week got cancelled. And this is the industry's fault. Because at that level where people still want it to be funny, they're doing something else. They're trying to use it as a springboard for the next sad person. Now, I don't know, this Richard Gadd might be very funny in it. I've never seen him. In it, his character does anti-comedy, prop comedy, very ironic, silly, off-the-wall comedy. And I'm looking at it going, I bet they were the shit jokes he did in his show until he got to the sad bit. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't want to really dig him out for his stand-up, because I haven't seen it. But this Baby Reindeer, it is a it's sort of one. But the trouble with it is it's a 1 hour narrative show been stretched over six episodes or eight episodes. And it's just like, oh, it's just one thing.
Is it about male rape?
Oh, yeah. It's not about that, but yeah. And I don't let him off the hook. And it was very clumsy. Like at the start, his spoiler, his stalker comes in the pub he works and he feels sorry for him. And at the end, he's in a pub and someone feels sorry for him. He's also wearing his ex-girlfriend's dead brother's jacket that his ex-mother-in-law gave him. So he's also kind of got a new identity like this woman has. And it's just pretty shit, actually. And the other thing is, it's all based on a true story. And he behaves appallingly in it, leading this woman on. And I think it's all looked like one big excuse. Like, oh, this happened to me. That's why I did. It's like, yeah, but two wrongs don't make a right, bruv. I mean, that awful thing did happen to you and that woman was mental, but you also fed it and you did lead her on. So I kind of was like, he sort of seemed like a bit of a cunt in it as well for me.
Which is bad for if you want to have people enjoy the narrative of your show. There has to be sympathy.
Well, there has to be. And I think he's playing for sympathy. And he's also probably going, oh, this is a warts and all things I did. But at the end, I was going, just because that bad thing happened to you, which he does justify it. He does justify his role in encouraging this stalker because she was a woman and his girlfriend in it is trans. And his girlfriend in it is trans because he's confused about what happened to him. And it's all very victimy, but you did lead someone on as well. And he's going, oh, why did I lead her on? Oh, this, because this bad thing happened to me. And at the end, it was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't like anyone in it. And that's fine. That's, you know, but I don't know. And I didn't get anything from it. I just didn't like it. I'm allowed to not like something, Ash.
Yeah, it's your review of the day. Justin's review of the day. I've not done any watching of anything. I've been installing a bathroom. I wish I'd not started. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of my review of that.
Okay,
don't
good.
Do your own bathroom is my big takeaway.
I fucking told you all this.
And
I told
of big
you,
takeaways,
don't,
look at that picture of me.
Look at the advice I've given you, but you've not taken. I said...
Spurned it.
Keto.
Spurned it.
Keto and eat meat. No, you ignored me. Now look at where you are. I said, don't have any more kids. Look where you are. Look what you've done.
I love them. I love them.
Oh, I mean, come on. And then I said, don't do your own bathroom.
Wish I'd listened.
Mm-hmm. That's why I've got listeners. You're not a listener. That's weird. The kids was the biggest one. I have had that because when I upload, I always just check. I don't know why. I upload it and then I go, oh, it's on Spotify now. That's my choice of platform of choice. I go, I'll just make sure it's definitely the right episode. And I listen to the first 2 seconds. Right?
Yeah.
Because I do that once a week on Spotify, it often does click onto this when something else has ended.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Sorry, listener. We'll be back on Wednesday. If you want to see a picture of Fatty McFatso being fat, like a fat, fat,
miserable
fat,
and fat,
spend a pound, go over to Patreon. Remember, you could do a free trial on Patreon. You could just go and do it for free for a week.
I've just had a thought.
Go on.
I'll get this, put this out today. After this,
yeah,
I'm going to do a solo pod because we failed to do Friday. And I'm going to search my own name, go through all the comments, and I'm going to search myself online and see, and warts and all, I'm going to Google myself, and I'm going to do that live.
I don't even know if there'd be anything of me.
I'm going to look on YouTube. I've never looked at GB News. I don't want to because I've been scared of the comments. But you've admitted, you've just sort of like been publicly shamed. I'm going to do the same. Yeah. So we're, all right, we'll be Shame Brothers.
Oh, that'd be great. The Shame Brothers.
Well, I'm
going to
Google
Wednesday.
Myself after this and put it on the $5 a month Patreon tier, whatever it is, because as a Friday deal, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. All thank right. you, listener, for being there. We'll speak to you on Wednesday, Justin.
Yes.
I'm so sorry that you've got to look at this mess occasionally.
It's the funniest.
I'll be apologising to my
picture,
wife tomorrow.
The first picture. Your
yeah,
head
that's
is...
why I told you, didn't I? I didn't disappoint you. Just
no,
let
no,
me
that
know
was good.
That I didn't disappoint you.
It was good.
The only person I'm not disappointing at the moment is you. So that's
I wouldn't go that far. That wasn't disappointing. You still are, Ash. You'd always be my little disappointing buggy-wuggy.
Speak to you later.